Just, my name's Murray Shanks. It's wonderful today to have my wife Louise bringing a word to us, so I'll hand over to Louise now.
If you were with us a couple of weeks ago, you'll remember that we looked at an amazing story from Mark's Gospel about a time when Jesus was in a boat with his disciples and they found themselves in a storm. You'll remember that we talked about how hearing how Jesus dealt with the storm helped us when we find ourselves in storms. I love the stories of Jesus' life on earth. They're great stories. But there's so much more than just great stories. They teach us so much if we're prepared to listen. Today we're in Mark's Gospel again, and we're going to look at a story that I'm sure you will be familiar with. But it's my prayer that this morning, as we hear of this amazing miracle of Jesus, that we will be encouraged and challenged afresh. Jesus and his disciples were up in the north of Israel, around the shores of Lake Galilee. And this time it wasn't a storm that they were up against. It was a massive crowd of people. People who were hungry and had nothing to eat. If you've got your Bible with you, turn with me to Mark chapter 6. And let's read this story together. We're reading from verse 30. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all that they had done and taught. Let's stop there for a moment. Where had the disciples been? What's this about a ministry tour? Well, if you look back over the previous chapters, you'll see that Jesus chose 12 men to work with him and then sent them out in twos. We read about it in chapter 6, verses 6 to 13. Then Jesus went out from village to village teaching the people, and he called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. He told them to take nothing for their journey except a walking stick, no food, no traveler's bag, no money. He allowed them to wear sandals, but not to take a change of clothes. And verse 12. So the disciples went out, telling everyone they met to repent of their sins and turn to God. And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil. So the disciples have been off on their assignment, and they've had some real success, it seems. They've cast out demons, they've healed the sick, and I imagine they were pretty excited about the experiences they'd had in the villages where Jesus had sent them. Have you ever run a youth camp or been to beach mission or a short-term mission trip? Do you remember that feeling when you got home? You've had an awesome time. You've seen Jesus do some amazing things, but you're exhausted. You're worn out. Well, I reckon that's something like what the disciples were feeling. They've had some awesome experiences, but they're worn out. They need a break, and Jesus knows it. So he says to them, verse 31, then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. I want you to notice that Jesus, our Lord and Master, knows us better than even we know us. He knows that we're limited. He knows we get tired, worn out, exhausted. He knows there's only so much that we can cope with at any one time. There will be times when Jesus will call us to step out and do the hard work of ministry, just like he did with the disciples. He sent them out with a hard, difficult, and challenging task. But there will also be times when he says, it's time for a break. And that's what Jesus did that day. He said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. Let's keep reading. Verse 33. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. In life, and even in ministry, things don't always go according to plan. Obviously, the plan was that the crowd would give them some space, some room for rest, but that was not going to be the case. Those of you who have been walking with the Lord for a while know what that's like. You're exhausted, you're peopled out, and the phone rings. So how did Jesus handle this? Let's have a look, because I think we can learn a lot about kingdom living and about grace from looking at what Jesus did. Verse 34 says that a huge crowd was there as Jesus stepped from the boat. This wasn't a few people. This was a huge crowd of people that had followed Jesus and the disciples around the lake. Later on in the passage, we're told that there were 5,000 men and their families. That is a big crowd of people. Jesus and the disciples would probably have been well within their rights to say, "Enough, go away, please. Will you just give us a break?" Especially when you consider that Jesus had told the disciples that they were going to find a quiet spot to have a rest. But Jesus doesn't send the people away. Scripture tells us that he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Jesus saw that these people were lost. He saw them as they really were. He looked past the immediate circumstances, past his own needs, past the disciples' needs, to the needs of these lost people. They really needed him and his message about the availability of the kingdom of God. And so he puts his plans aside and spends some time teaching. There are going to be lots of times when the last thing you will want to do is to give of yourself for others. There will be lots of times when you feel weary, when you need a break. Don't misunderstand me. Self-care is important. Jesus' teaching about the Sabbath shows us that. We need to take breaks. We need to have healthy boundaries. Otherwise, we can get to the point where we have nothing left to give. But this story reminds us that there may be times when the Lord will call us to go beyond what we can give in our own strength. That's when we trust him for the strength that we need. And my experience is that he is faithful. He will provide strength, courage, resources, whatever we need. And we get to experience the joy of knowing that we are relying fully on his strength and power. So do you get the picture? The disciples were exhausted. They really needed a break. They were back from a big adventure, out there in the trenches doing the hard work of ministry, and they just rowed across Lake Galilee. Verse 35. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat." Can you hear the tiredness in the disciples' response to the situation? They were looking for an out, an excuse. They'd left the other side of the lake with a promise of some rest. I'm sure they were imagining a quiet evening, lying around an open fire, telling stories about their experiences. And they'd been patient while Jesus did some teaching. But now there were a lot of people still hanging around and they were getting hungry. So the disciples suggested, "Send the crowds away. Tell them to go and get some food. And then maybe we can get the fire going and relax." But Jesus said to them, Verse 37. You feed them. With what, they asked. We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all of these people. In the original Greek text, the disciples mention the amount of money that would be required to buy enough food for that crowd, 200 denarii. Now, a denarii was the amount that someone labouring would earn in a day. 200 denarii was equivalent to about 8 months' wages. So in today's money, we might say it was going to cost about $30,000 to $35,000. It's a big crowd. It was going to cost an enormous amount of money to feed them. And the disciples said to Jesus, "You want us to feed them? Do you have any idea how much that's going to cost?" Do you hear the attitude in their words? Of course Jesus knew. For months, the disciples have been with Jesus as he did and said incredible things. And now they're suggesting that Jesus doesn't get it, that he doesn't really understand the hugeness of the task. But Jesus just asked them, "How much do you have?" Verse 38, "How much bread do you have?" he asked. "Go and find out." They came back and reported, "We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. There's a very important life lesson for us to learn here. Know what God has given you. God won't ask you to give more than he has already given you. Jesus asked the disciples to feed the crowd, something that was beyond them, something that was impossible for them. But then when it came to actually doing it, what did Jesus require of them? He just needed them to give the very little that they had back to him. What has God given you? Maybe to you what God has given you seems very little, very insignificant. You can cook a little. You can sing a little. You have a little money to give. You have a little time on your hands. Jesus won't ask you to give more than what he's already given you. It's what he does with what he's given you that is the truly amazing thing. That's the miracle. This is such an important lesson for us to learn. Give Jesus the little bit that you have, and he will multiply it beyond your wildest dreams. Verse 39. Then Jesus told the crowd to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat in groups of 50 or 100. Now I want you to notice the absolute faith Jesus had here. Faith in the power of God to make this happen through him. Remember, he's God, but he's fully human. Jesus had given up all his rights as God to come among us, to be human. Jesus operated in the same power as we operate. That is, in the Holy Spirit's power through human flesh and blood. Jesus knew that what he had planned to do, he would do. But it's not as though at this point that there was a heap of food sitting around waiting to be distributed. The miracle hadn't happened yet. There was still only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But in faith, Jesus told the crowd to sit down in groups of 50 or 100 on the green grass. Have you ever had a group of even 20 people and you've tried to organise them to sit down in groups? I remember what it was like trying to get 40 youth group kids just to sit down. Getting that crowd organised, sitting in groups of 50 or 100, would have been no small feat, and it must have built a sense of expectation. You can hear the little kids sitting on their parents' laps saying, "Mummy, what's happening? What's Jesus doing, Daddy?" Verse 41. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and blessed them. Can you imagine that? Jesus had got them all organized, all seated. Remember, there were 5,000 men there. That means that counting the women and children, there could have been more than 10,000 people. And once they're all seated, Jesus holds up the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he says, "Grace. For what we are about to receive, we are truly thankful. Amen." Imagine what that would have been like. The people must have been thinking, "What is he doing? He might have some food, but we've got nothing." Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread and fish to the disciples to give to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. Notice the food didn't just appear en masse. It didn't land in the middle of the groups of people. It didn't appear in their laps. Jesus just started giving the food out and it didn't run out. Every time he handed a piece of bread or fish to one of the disciples, there was more. And the disciples just kept handing it out. I don't know if you remember being with a big group for a meal. Think back to church camps or fellowship teas. You know how it works. This table goes up first to be served and everyone lines up, and it takes time. Imagine what it would have been like with a crowd of 10,000 people. Handing the food out must have gone on for hours and hours. There were only 12 disciples handing out the food. It must have taken some time. And this was a feast of abundance. There was more than enough food for everyone. There is no sense that the disciples were saying, "One, please just take one fish and one loaf, please, sir, put that back, otherwise there won't be enough for everyone." That's not how the kingdom operates. In the kingdom of God, there is abundance rather than scarcity. When Jesus is handing out the food, there's more than enough for everyone. In fact, as the night wore on, people ate and ate and ate until they could eat no more. Verse 42 says, "They all ate as much as they wanted." And afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. I can't help hearing the Lord's sense of humour here. The disciples had such attitude in the beginning, such a lack of faith. Remember, they said, "Jesus, I think you'll find that that's going to cost too much to feed all these people." And then after everyone had had their fill, Jesus left the disciples with a basket of leftovers each. There were 12 baskets, one for each of the disciples, of leftovers at the end of the feast. Verse 45 says, "Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake to Bethsaida while he sent the people home. After telling everyone goodbye, he went up into the hills by himself to pray." Jesus insisted that the disciples get back in the boat and go home. Clearly, they didn't want to go. You can probably hear them saying, "You've got to be kidding. I thought we were going to have a break. Go on, get back in the boat. I'll catch you up later," said Jesus. Jesus then sent the people home and headed up into the hills to pray by himself. Verse 47. Late that night, the disciples were in their boat in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on land. He saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and the waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. He intended to go past them, but when they saw him walking on the water, they cried out in terror, thinking he was a ghost. They were all terrified when they saw him. But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then he climbed into the boat and the wind stopped. They were totally amazed, for they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. The disciples didn't get it. They had been part of the most amazing miracle, the feeding of thousands of people with a few bits of bread and a couple of fish. But their attention was on themselves, on their own needs, on their desire for a break, and because of that, they missed this extraordinary moment when Jesus revealed his true identity to them. But Jesus didn't condemn them in that. He met them in their unbelief. And because he knew how important it was for these 12 men to really understand who he was, he went to them walking on the water, as if to say, "You didn't get it when I multiplied the fish and the loaves. Maybe you'll get it now." I had a lecturer at college who, at the end of every biblical lesson, used to say, "Think about where you are in this story." I want to finish by asking you to do that. Take a minute to stop and think about where you might be in this story. Because I found that that's a great way to hear what God might be saying to you through it. Are you searching for Jesus? You've followed him and you're sitting on the grass with a sense of excitement. If that's you, maybe all you need to do is to reach out and take what the Lord has for you. Are you like the disciples? You've seen what Jesus has done. You've even been used by him. But your faith is still small. You don't really get it. You're too focused on your own needs. Maybe if that's you, you need to ask, "What do I need to do to get my eyes off myself and onto Jesus?" Do you have something to give, but it seems like it's nowhere near enough? Do you need to be like Jesus and hold up what little you have, knowing that God can and will do something amazing with it? Spend a minute asking yourselves, where am I in this story? And ask the Lord, "What do you want to say to me this morning through this amazing miracle? And how will that change the way I live tomorrow?" Lord, we are constantly amazed at your love, your compassion, your power. I pray that as we go into our week, that you would continue to speak to us, challenge us, and encourage us. Bless your people, I pray. Amen.